Begin the current daf Masechet Tzivah, Misdaf Chaf. We begin on the bottom of your Testament base, five lines up in the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. And that is, we had a machlekes between Reb Shimon and the Rabbanon in the previous Mishnah, the previous two Mishnahs, regarding the erva of Eishes Ach Shlohoi Bar Lamed. That is, if there's a brother that dies without any children, and after he dies, another brother is born, he's forbidden to take his widow in the midst of Yibum, because as the Pasuk says, it has to be that Yeshu Yachtub, that they were dwelling together, and he wasn't alive at the same time as his brother that passed away. Now, there was machlekes regarding the case of Yibum ul-B'saif Noilad, which is, if let's say there was Reuben and Shimon, Reuben dies without any children, Shimon goes ahead and does Yibum, and then after Shimon does Yibum, then Levi's born. Now, that Reb Shimon is definitely, as the maskana of the Gemara was, is that he's going to hold that there's no problem of Ishus Ach Shlahib Ba'ilamai. As Reb Shimon himself says, as the Gemara will shortly record, because when Levi's born, he never encounters that problematic Zika, which is the bond that's coming from the first brother that dies without any children, which is problematic for him because he wasn't alive at the same time. He never encounters that because Shimon had already married her. Now the only Zika he's going to encounter is when Shimon dies without any children. That's a full-fledged Zika, and therefore she's not an erva to him of Eishes Achir Shlahid by Lama. Whereas the Chacham say that no, even in such a case, no matter when he's born, he's going to have a problem with this woman, and she will always be considered an erva for him because she still maintains that Zika from the original brother, even though he was born after Shimon had already done Yibum. Now, that the Gemara says, Yosef Rav Menashe bar Zvid, kamed Rav Huna. So Rav Menashe, the son of Zvid, was sitting in front of Rav Huna. The Yosef Akamar, and he was sitting and he was saying as follows. He says, my time to Rav Shimon, what's the reason of Rav Shimon, who he's on record as arguing with the Chacham in regards to the halach of Eish Tachav Shalai Bailamai, that regarding Yavim Vasef Noilad, that then she's not an erva of Eish Tachav Shalai Bailamai. So the Gemara asks, my time to Rav Shimon, that's his question? Could Amar time? What do you mean? Rav Shimon himself says his reason in the Mishnah. Because Hailu Ba Umatsa Behetr, since when Levi's born, he encounters the wife of Reuben for the first time in the state of permission, because she's not now falling from a Zika of Reuben, she's married to Shimon. There was never a moment when she was forbidden to him as an erva of Eish Lachav Shalai Bailamai, because again, he wasn't alive at that time when Reuben Zika was pervasive throughout for all the brothers. He was only born after Shimon had already done Yibim. So what's the question? What's the opinion of Reb Shimon? What's his reason? So rather, Ella, my time of the Rabbanan. His question was, what's the reason actually of the Rabbanan? They say that not only is Noilu B'Sav Yavim a problem where he's born and he encounters that Zika, but even if Shimon first did Yibim and then Levi's born, the question is, it seems that Reb Shimon has a very good reason. This Zika of Reuven was never around when Levi was born, because by the time Levi was born, Shimon had already done Yibim. So why is that Zika going to still make a problem for Levi as an erva of Eish Lachav Shalai Ba'alamai? So the Gemara says, because Amakra, the Chacham based it on the Pasuk in Devarim that says, Ulakacha loy le'isha v'yibma, that the Yavam will take the Yavama for him as a wife, and he will do Yibim with her. Now, what that sounds like is that even when he finally does Lekuchin, which is marriage, he does Yibum, still, Adayin Yivum Harishayin Malahal. It sounds like that the first Yibum will still be on this woman even after Shimon has already married her, and then even only later is Levi born, but the Pasuk is still calling her a Yivama, because it's saying Lukachala, which is the marriage, he consummates the relationship, and then it says V'yuma, so she's still called the Yavama. So you see that the first Zika is still upon this woman. That's Adayin Yavum Harishayin Malah. It's still there, and that's why when Levi's born, what do you mean he's not encountering it? He is, because although she's now the wife of Shimon, we still see that element of the Zika in Shimon's relationship with her, and that's a problem for Levi because he wasn't alive at the same time as that Zika from Reuben. But the Gemara asks on this, because Elohad did not this, we learn the Mishnah Daf Lamechas Siman Aleph that says, Kanosa, when the Yavam finally marries the Yavama, the widow. So the halacha is Hari Kishlu Chal Davar. She's his wife, like all practical purposes, although it came through this medium of Yibam, but she's like a regular wife. Now, V'amir Bias B'chanin, he says, what does this teach us? Milamed comes to teach him, and continue to talk about Manav, Shemigar Shabiget, that first of all, when he divorces her, he could just divorce her like a regular wife with a get. He doesn't have to do Chalitza like you have to do with the Yavama. And moreover, if he wants to remarry her, Umachziri could remarry her. And that what that means is that we don't say that, wait a second, she's an Eishes Achav. We always still view her as the Yavama. And it's just that the Torah said you could do Mitzvah Yibim. Once you did it, because you had married her, and then you divorced her, you can't go ahead and remarry her, because now she just remains with the original Isra Eishes Achav. That is what the Gemara is saying, that we don't say that. She's like your regular wife. We don't see any of that old history there as if she's the Yavama. She's like a regular wife. And that, the Gemara's question is, Hasam Nami Lema V'Yibma, why? There you should also apply what you're saying over here, and that if we still view the original Zika of Reuven, that's why it makes a problem, according to Chacham, for Levi, who was born even after Shimon does the Yibim, because we still view her, she never loses that status of the Yavama. So therefore, you should say, Adain Yivum Rishayin Malah. So we still view the original Yibmanar, V'Yibay Chalitza, and therefore she should require Chalitza. In other words, that this woman, that Yibim was done to her, if you say that the original Zika is still there, and that's why we said it's a problem for Levi, so then she should require Chalitza. And that is, any woman that, when you're doing Yibim with her, and then when you're coming to do Gerishin, this Yavam, well, why is it enough to do Gerishin? You should have to do Chalitza also, because how can you make the differential? You're saying that the original Yibim is still there, the Yavama status is still there from the original Zika of Reuben to make a problem for Levi, because it's Eish Achav Shlei Balamei, but then why over here, regarding when you marry her, you say, oh, there she loses the status. You don't have to do Chalitza anymore. You should have to do Chalitza there also. So I think Moses says, no, Shani Hasam, there it's different, that she becomes totally his wife, because Damakra, the Pasuk says, that we just quoted, L'kacha Loyli Isha, that you take her for a wife, and that is Kivin Shalakha. Once you take her, you do marriage, you do Yibim, so Naskesh L'chal Davos, so she becomes like a full-fledged wife. And that's why if you want to divorce her, you divorce her like a regular woman with a get, not with Chalitza. But then the Gemara asks, Ehachi Hachanamis. So how can you make the difference? And then the same thing should apply over here also. Why is, if she becomes like a total wife, like almost like it doesn't make a difference where she came from, there's no Yavama history in her, so why do we say that when Shimon then dies, then Levi's forbidden to her, even though he was born only after Shimon, quote, married her, and that she lost that old history? So why is she in Erva? According to Chachamim, you should be like a regular wife, where he was alive the same time as Shimon and his wife, and therefore he should be permitted to her. So why over there do we say that you still retain that? And I think Mara says, no, the Torah says that she still has the original Yavama status. So that's why Levi's going to be forbidden to her. So the Gemara finally says, okay, Omari Isa. So what did you see to make a difference? Yes, I understand there's a Pasuk making it sound like she's still the Yavama. You have a Pasuk saying that, no, she's not like the Yavama still. She's like a married woman. She lost the Yavama history. And so you're saying for one case like that, how do you know that should be that way and that should be that way? Maybe it should be the other way around. Now the Gemara says, no, Mistabra Shadi Heteri, it makes sense, it's logical, to say that the Pasuk, the Drasha, that's saying a Heter, meaning the Pasuk says Ulukacha, that she's like a full-fledged wife, and you don't need chalitz anymore, that should be placed a hatera on the situation, the context of that's a permission. In other words, where everything is permitted in the regular classical case of yibum, when you do a yibum to your brother's wife, so we'll say that was a permission, a permitted case of yibum, then the heter of saying that ulakacha, that she's like a regular wife, will be going of that, and that would mean that you don't have to do chalitza when you want to divorce that woman. But b'shadi isura, but the drasha that tells us a iser, which is v'yibma, which says that, oh, wait a second, she still has her problematic zika, is still there, because we see she's still called v'yibma even after likuchin, you should place that a isura on the case that already has an iser with it. In other words, by the case of Eishes Achav Shalahi Ba'ilami, where Levi has a problem with this original zika, because he wasn't alive at that time, even though he was only born after Shimon did a Yibim, that Isra of a Yibma should apply to him, because that's where there's an Isra. So Isra finds Isra, and Heter finds Heter, and that's how we say that the case of Lukacha is going to say that she's fully married and she doesn't need a chalitza, whereas v'yima, that she still has the problematic zika, will be going on the case of Eish L'Achav Shalai Ba'ilamai, and that's why Chacham hold that even by Yavam L'Sev Nailad, he'll still be forbidden to. Now the Gemara concludes by going back to Reb Shimon's opinion. Well, Reb Shimon, the Amar Hay L'Bam Mitzal Behetter, he says no, that since when, he argues on that case of Yavam L'Sev Nailad, since when he's born, he never encounters that original Zika of Reuven. He only finds her as the wife of Shimon. And therefore, she was never upon him with this problematic Zika to create an Issa to him. And that is, although if he would have been born earlier, he would have encountered it. But now when he's encountering, it's only coming from when Shimon dies without any children. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, then his maternal sister, that married his paternal brother, and this all took place before he was born. And then, and then the brother, meaning when this guy is born, he finds his maternal sister married to his paternal brother, and then his paternal brother dies, which is what the classical case of Yibim is, when one's paternal brother dies without any children. So the question is, Tisyabim, there, you should do Yibim. And the reason is, since Lamaisa, when you're born, you're finding this as a permitted case of Yibim, because your paternal brother's wife, even though there's an erva of Eshes Ach, you're allowed to go ahead and do Yibim. So though you're not allowed to marry your maternal sister, but that would only be if you were born before she had married your paternal brother, where that's of course you can't marry your maternal sister. But since you weren't born until she was already married to your paternal brother, and you're allowed to do Yibim to your paternal brother's wife, even though there's an erva of Eshes Ach, so you should say the same Svar Reb Shimon, since you found it in the state of Heter. As some Rishonim to bring down an additional case to ask the same question, which is the erva of, let's say, one's paternal brother's wife, maternal brother's wife, where there is no heter of Yibam. Then she went and married his paternal brother. Then he was born, and then his paternal brother died. There also one should say that you could do Yibam, since when you were born, you found her in a status of heter. Who cares that at one point she was married to your maternal brother where there's no heter of Yibam, and that's an erva of Eshes Achim, which doesn't get permitted, but why not? If before he's born, she then goes and marries his paternal brother again, so then he only encounters that paternal brother's wife, and therefore should be permitted. So the Gemara says, well, how can you ask such a question? Where did the Isser, so good, Yibam takes care of Eshes Ach, your brother's wife, but she's an erva of his sister. How can you go ahead and say that you can marry your sister? But the Gemara says, wait a second, that's your question. So Hachanami, you should ask then the same question on Reb Shimon. Isser achiv shlahoy ba'olam lehechan azal. Where did that erva go? Reuven was not alive at the same time as the newborn brother Levi. That makes his wife an erva to Levi, an eshes achiv shlahoy ba'olam, which means the eshes achiv is always forbidden. Yibam allows it. Now, if there's no heter of Yibam, because it's Shlohi by Lama, so then there's Isser of Eshes Ach. Where did that Isser go? You're saying that if Shimon marries her first before Levi's born, oh, so when Levi's born, he only counts as this permitted status of Shimon. So then you should say the same thing by the sister or by the maternal brother's wife. You say the same thing. He wasn't alive at that time. And the Gemara says, no. Hi, the Isser of one's sister. That's Isser the less letter. That's a prohibition that doesn't have any heter. She's a sister, whether you're born then or later or earlier, she's always going to be a sister, even if you're born and you find her married to your paternal brother. However, hi, the case of the Isser Eshes Ach, that is different. That's Isser de Is Leheter. If the brother dies without any children, then the Isser Eshes Ach is not there anymore. That it's permitted. Therefore, when the first brother, we call him Reuven, dies without any children, so then that Isser Eshes Ach is removed for the second brother, for Shimon, who then marries her. Now, the third brother, Levi, he's then coming from Shimon's union. That's what he's taking over now when he does Yibam. He's not taking over Reuven's. You're right, Reuven's he wouldn't be able to take over. But Shimon, that union that Shimon had with Reuven's wife, that was not an Isser Eshes Ach. And Levi's taking it over. Or like Tosfos explains, he says that the reason why it's considered the Isser Eshes Ach has a heter is because it removes the Isser of Eshes Ach, where so much so that, like we said before, that you could divorce and then remarry her. That means to say that if it had the original Eshes Ach, it's just Yibam allows it, like it just says, okay, we'll override it for now, but it's always there, then you wouldn't be able to take her back once you divorce her because you already did Yibam, and then there's no more a heter of Yibam, so the Isser Eshes Ach should apply. And obviously we say that, no, it's totally removed. And therefore, once Shimon removes it, then Levi's never going to encounter that because Shimon totally removed Reuven's Isser Eshes Ach. And then Levi's coming just to take over Shimon's union, and Shimon he was alive with at the same time, and that wasn't an Isser Erva of Eshes Ach Shlebei Lamai, and that's why Shimon says that in the case of Yom Lotzev Noilid, there, since he's never encountering that original problematic Zika ever, because that was removed by Shimon, so that's why I can go ahead and do Yibam. But by the other cases, my sister or maternal brother's wife, where that's an intrinsic erva, which never gets removed, that's something that will be usur even if he only encounters them when they're married to his paternal brother. Nothing more continues with the next Mishnah, which goes back to the theme of the beginning of the Masechta, that says the following rule. Klal Amar B'Yavama. They said the following rules regarding a Yavama. Kal Shehi Isser Erva, which was the theme of the first Mishnah in this Masechta, whatever is a prohibition of an erva, those were the 15 women, then loy chelatzis v'loy mesi abemes, then you cannot do chalitza or yibim to the even the co-wife, and most definitely the erva herself. That's what we said, that's what we opened up, the 15 women. However, Isser mitzvah the Isser kedusha, which the Mishnah shortly will explain and the Gemara will elaborate on what these are, what are these prohibitions. Them, chaylatzah v'lemis habemis. You do chalitza to them, but you don't do yibim. It's somewhere in the middle. You can't just totally exempt her. She's not an erva, but you can't, neither can you do yibim either because they're forbidden relationships. So you do chalitza, not yibim. Now the Mishnah says a unique case now. Achaysa, if you have the sister of an erva, shehi yivimta, which is also a yivamam, which Rashi explains the case as follows. That if, let's say, there's two sisters married to two brothers, and both brothers die. Now they fall in front of a yavam, the third brother. So one of the two sisters is an erva to that third brother, whether that one is his daughter-in-law or whether it's his mother-in-law. But Levi, somehow his daughter-in-law married Reuven. Now, on that we're saying that if both, there's two sisters from Reuven and Shimon, but one of them is an erva to him. And that the Mishnah says, so then chaylatzes oy misya bemes, then you can do either chalitza or yibim to the sister of the erva. And the reason is, because this is presupposing an understanding of a halacha, which is called a chesuku kasei, which is when there's two brothers married to two sisters and they both die and both fall in front of a yavam, well, then you can't do yibim to either one of them. The problem is because when you're going to do yibim to one of them, you're marrying the sister of your zakuka, because each one is your zakuka, which is somewhat of a quasi marriage. So you're not marrying this your wife's sister. So essentially, anytime you can do yibim to one of them, you're marrying your wife's sister. Now that is what our Mishnah is saying, that here that problem would not be, and therefore you could do yibim to the other one. And the reason is because an erva, as we said in the beginning of the Masechta, is not zakuk to you. She doesn't even enter the box of yibim. Hence, let's say Reuven's wife was the daughter-in-law, so her sister, Shimon's wife, is not a chizuk ukase, because that wife is not zakuk, she's an erva. So therefore, Shimon's wife, one could go ahead and do chalitza or yibim. Now the Mishnah clarifies the terms that we said before that are Issa Mitzvah, Issa Kedusha, that there it's Chayletzes, V'lei Mizabemes. So the Mishnah says, Issa Mitzvah, what does that mean, the prohibitions of the commandment? That's a reference to Shnias, which are called the secondary Arayas, which they are Medivri Seifim, they're only rabbinically prohibited, where the Rabbanan said they're forbidden. And the Gemara will explain the reasons for this and the term of why it's called Issa Mitzvah. But those are only rabbinically prohibited unions, and therefore the Halach is going to be Chayletzes, and not Misya Bemes. Now the term Issa Kedusha, the prohibitions of sanctity, which again the Gemara will explain these terms of Mitzvah and Kedusha, that's a case of Amon L'Kohen Gadol, which is there's a prohibition of a widow marrying a high priest, which is if, let's say, his brother that was a Kohen Hed, you died without any children, now that Amon falls for him, she's what's called the Issa Kedusha. It says in the Torah regarding all these cases that we're calling Issa Kedusha, they're a loisa, say the negative prohibitions in the Torah of unions. There's no punishment of Karis, which that would be a different category, like those of the 15 women in our Mishnah, which are called Arayas. These are called Issa Kedusha, those of sanctity of the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael. Different types of Arayas, they're not the category of Arayas of those 15 women, but they're still prohibitions. So if his brother died, the Kohen Gadol, without any children, so he can't go ahead and do Yibim, because the Torah says Almana, which is the widow, cannot marry Kohen Gadol. Or Krusha v'chalutz l'Kohen Gadol. Or if, let's say, the brother that just died without any children, he violated the Isser, because a Kohen Hedrid, even a regular Kohen, is not allowed to marry a woman that was divorced, which includes also a Chalutza that was removed from the Mitzvah of Yibim through Chalitza. So he violated that Isser. Now, when he dies, the brothers still have to do Chalitza to his wife. And the reason is because although he violated an Isser by marrying that woman, still Kedushin acquired that union. And the reason is because Kedushin is Taif, is B'chiyab Alav, and although it's a negative prohibition, but since it wasn't like Chiva Kriso, or Chiva Mises Bezdin, so even though it was a violation, it was a valid marriage. And however, so the brothers have to do something with her, because she is a Yavama, so they have to do Chalitza, but they cannot do Yibum. The reason is because this Yavama is forbidden to the Yavam, who is a Kayan, and a Kayan cannot marry a Grusha or a Chalutza. Now, again, as we said, however, but you cannot just totally exempt her from Yibim at all, because a lav is not strong enough to remove her, like we said by Arayas of the first Mishnah in the Masechta, that, oh, you're an erva. So we don't even, not only we don't do Yibim, we don't do Chalitza for you at all. And the reason is because, as we learned in the beginning of the Masechta, Daf Gimel Mevayis, where do we know that an erva is excluded from the Yibim Chalitza? From Achais Isha. Now, Achais Isha is unique in that it has Karis. That is where we would say that's the type of category of an erva that would exclude from Yimei Chalitza. But here, where they are not, they're only licenses, negative prohibitions, they don't have the punishment of Karas, there the halacha would be that they're not totally excluded. But again, you can't do Yimei because it's a forbidden relationship. So then you have to do Chalitza. Included in this category are Mamzeres v'Nesina Li Yisrael, someone that's an illegitimate child born from a forbidden union. Nachalik is exactly what creates a Mamzeres. But that type of a woman, or an Nesina, which that was from the, that was of the Givonim, which it says in the Pasuk of Yitnim Yeshua, Yeshua placed them, that's where they had the term Nesina. Also those which are forbidden to come into the Kahal, to the congregation of the Jewish people. Or Ubas Yisrael, Nosla Mamzer, or a Jewish girl, to do Yibum to a Nas nor to a Mamzer, again, which these are just negative prohibitions, those are the things that we call the Isser Kedusha. Those are categories that will not totally exempt from Yibum Chalitza, but neither can you do Yibum because they're forbidden relationships. So there the halach is Chalitzas, you do Chalitza and you don't do Yibum. Now, the Gemara asked regarding that our Mishnah opened up with, this is a general rule they said regarding Yivama. So the Gemara asked, Kalal Asu Yimai, what does it mean when it says a general rule? A general rule means to say that there are things included in this rule, but it seems to be clear cut. It's a erva, you don't do chalitza, you don't do yibim. It's a mitzvah, kedusha, you do chalitza and you don't do yibim. What more are we included? So there's two versions of what Kalal is coming to teach. Amar Rav from Papa, he says, lasu yitzaras ailness. It's coming to include the tzara, the co-wife of an ailness. An ailness is a woman that doesn't have the female characteristics of being able to have children. So when she's married to the man that just died without any children and she has co-wives, she exempts her co-wives too, Ukud Ravasa. The Ravasa said in the first paragraph of Yud Beis and Aleph that there, the tsaris are don't do chalitza or yibim. And the reason is because he holds that we actually call the ailness as an erva. Because the pasuk excludes her from the parashah of yibim. From Asher Teilet, it says that if one's going to do a yibim to the yivama, the Asher Teilet, that will have children. Now, she cannot have children. If she cannot have children, so she doesn't have the heter of your brother's wife, so she retains the original Isra of Eshasach, therefore, her tzara, her co-wife, is a tzara of an erva. Of which erva? The erva of your brother's wife. And that's what's being included when we're saying a general rule that we said with Yivamis, that wherever it's the erva, that you don't do chalitza or yibim to the tzara, included in the erva, even though she's not intrinsically in the erva, she's not like a mother-in-law or a daughter-in-law or two sisters, she's just a regular woman, she just cannot have childbirth, but in the context of yibum, she then retains the erva of Eshasach. Vegadami, actually, those say an opposite version of this. They say that kol shisur esa erva hu das yitzarasa. What the Mishnah is coming to tell us by saying this is the rule, is saying whatever the isra of the woman is an actual erva, she is a prohibited woman, that's when hu das yitzarasa. That's where she'll make her tzara forbidden and no yibim, no chalitza. Halai yisur esa erva, but if her isra is not an intrinsic erva, then tzarasa lo yasira, then her tzara will not be forbidden. What is it excluding? Amarafram, he says, Lemu'uti tzaras alness is coming to exclude tzaras alness. Udaloi kravasi, because as we said before, although contextually you'll say that the alness is an erva, but the second version says, but she's not an erva. She's not a prohibited type of a woman. There's nothing wrong with her per se. It's just in the context of a yibum, we don't allow her to have yibum, and therefore she's not an erva herself, and therefore she will not totally exempt her tzaras from yibum and chalitza, not like kravasi. Now, Mishnah said, regarding this unique case, where there's usually a problem of when two brothers who marry two sisters, both of them die and their wives fall in front of the third brother, where now you have achoisa kukasa, you can't do yibim to either one of them. Our Mishnah said, but if achoisa she yivimta, if her sister is also the yivama, then we say you can do either chalitza or yibim. So the Gemara asks in clarification, achoisa de man, she's a sister of who? In other words, we said that generally they're sisters, so we're talking about sisters. But we're saying if she's a sister of the other woman, oh, then that other woman is not going to make a problem for her. You could still do Yibim Chalitza. So who is she a sister to that's saying that will not be a problem of Achisu Kukasa? Elim the Isser Mitzvah, if you say that, let's say we'll call her Reuben's wife, was an Isser Mitzvah, which is only rabbinically prohibited, those are the Shnias. Well, then Kivin Demiraisa Rami Kameh, but that would be a problem because since biblically, the wife of Reuven, if it would fall in front of, is falling in front of Levi, is just rabbinically you can't go ahead and have a relationship with her, well then Pagaba Chayisa Kukasai. Then how can you go ahead and do Yibim to the Shimon's wife if she is a sister of a Zakuk, which is some type of a marriage and therefore would be making her like a Chayis Ishtoi? How could you go ahead and do Yibim in that case? So El Rabbi Gemara clarifies, must be Achisa de Isser Erva. Must be she's a sister of an Erva. Where let's say Reuven's wife was Levi's daughter-in-law, or it was his mother-in-law. And then Levi's mother-in-law's sister was married to Shimon. So you have two sisters that are both falling in front of him, which is generally a problem with Chisa Kukasa. Here it wouldn't be, because an Erva doesn't even come into the parasha at all, even on a biblical standard, and that's why only Shimon's wife has fallen for him, and therefore he could do either Yibim or Chalitza. Now the Mishnah said that when they clarified regarding the Isra Mitzvah and Isra Kedusha, that there they don't totally exempt their tzaris from Yibim Chalitza, or even themselves, you have to do Chalitza and not Yibim. So the Mishnah clarified that Isra Mitzvah means Shnias, the secondary Arayis, meaning those introduced by Chazal as a safeguard for the primary Arayis mentioned in the Torah. So the Gemara says, "My karele is a mitzvah. Why are they called a prohibition of a commandment? Why is that term used for the rabbinic prohibited arayis?" Amabai says, "Because it's a mitzvah lishmai devar chacham. It's a commandment to listen to the words of the sages. As there's even a negative prohibition of leisas, so you have to listen to what they say. That's why it's called iser mitzvah, because that mitzvah of listening to the chachamim." Now the Mishnah said, "Iser kedusha, the prohibition of sanctity. That was a reference to a man l'kohen gadol, a widow to a high priest." Or Grusha v'chalitz l'kayin hedjit, these are negative prohibitions, and they're called the prohibitions of sanctity. Where again, there you can't do yibum, because it's a prohibited union, but neither does it totally exclude from yibum, so you have to do chalitza. So the Gemara says, v'amai kar lohu ister kedusha. Why is it called the prohibition of sanctity? So the Gemara says, because the chesed says, the pasuk meyikra, it says, kedushim yiyu le'lohayim, they should be holy to their God. Where you see that it says, that, and that's in the context of the psukim, of Kohuna, Kohen Gadol, Kohen Hedjit. So you see that it's a halach of sanctity. That's what's called Issur Kedusha. So the Gemara says actually that Tanya learned the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Machlev. Rabbi Yehuda actually switches the designation of these terms. He says Issur Mitzvah is actually Amon L'Kohen Gadol, is the widow to the high priest, and Grusha L'Vachalitz L'Kohen Hedjit, and the divorcee and the Chalutza to the Kohen Hedjit. And now, so then you have to know V'amai Korele Issur Mitzvah. Why does he call those prohibitions a prohibition of a commandment? Because it says in the Pasuk, in Vayikra, Eloha Mitzvahs. Now this is said at the end of Sefer Vayikra, of Sefer Teres Kayanim, which sounds like that it's going back on the whole entire Sefer Vayikra, which all that is talking about the warnings and the prohibitions to the Kahanim. And it's called, these are the mitzvahs. That's why the prohibitions for the Kahanim are called, these are called Isuri Mitzvah, because it says in the Torah that these are the commandments. Now Issur Kedusha, whereas he says that the prohibition of the sanctity is actually Shnis Min Dibrei Seferim, those are the secondary arayas from the sages. V'amai Karla Issur Kedusha, so why is it called Issur Kedusha? So I'm Abaye, because he says, Kol Amakayim Dibrei Chacham Nikra Kadosh, whoever fulfills the words of the sages is called holy, separated, and that's why the Issur of the Shnis is called Issur Kedusha. But Amalei Rava asked Abaye, what do you mean? V'choshe Einu Mekayim Dibrei Chacham, so he's saying that if you fulfill the words of the sages, you're called a Kadosh. But if you don't fulfill the words of the sages, so Kaddish Hudu Le'Mikri, it's just that you will not attain this higher standard of the title Kaddish, but Rosh Hanami Le'Mikri, you're not going to call it a wicked person. How can you say that they're called Issur Kedusha as if there's like it's a higher standard? It's not just a higher standard, and that if you don't do it, you don't have that. You're actually called a Rosh, a wicked person, if you don't keep the words of the Chazal of the Takan's Chacham. So Elamar Rav, rather Rav gives a different interpretation in this opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Why are the Issur Shnias called Issur Kedusha? It means because Kadesh Atzmacha, sanctify yourself, meaning stand and be forewarned and remove yourself, even from Bemutalach, even from what's permitted to you, meaning add on to the Arayas and the Torah, even secondary Arayas, which are really permitted, so that you don't come to violate the Arayas written in the Torah, which is what the words of the sages are coming to safeguard. That's why it's called Issur Kedusha. Not because if you do it, you're called Kaddish. It's not true. You have to do it. It's not a higher level. It's just from the verb of because you're separating yourself. You have to go ahead and remove. It's not a title that you attain. It's called Kaddish Azmucha B'mutalach. Remove yourself. And that's why it's called Issur Kedusha. Now, the Mishnah said, regarding whether it's called the Issur Mitzvah or Issur Kedusha, the two different versions, but Amon L'Kohen Gadol, regarding a widow, that obviously now she's a widow. Every case of Yibim is a widow, falls in front of a high priest. So a high priest cannot do yibum because a widow is forbidden to him. So that's called the halacha of chaylatz v'lemisabemes. Now, the Gemara says, kapasig v'tani, it seems like that it's saying it without giving any attributions to it, regarding when it says there's a problem of the amona falling for the kohen gadol, that loishna, since it doesn't differentiate, there's no difference whether she falls in front of him min hanisuin, that she was already married to his brother, the Kohen Hedrit. In other words, where there would be actually two problems. One is, A, she's an Amana, and there's a negative prohibition in the Torah which says, Amana liyikach, a Kohen Gadol cannot marry an Amana widow. Another problem, since she was already married, they consummated the relationship, is that she's a Ba'ula. She had relations with his brother. Now that makes a positive commandment violation, because it says in the Pasuk that a Kohen Gadol, Isha bibsulaha yikach. He has to marry a wife that's a virgin, that's a basula, and not a woman that already had relations. And a negative prohibition that comes from a positive commandment is considered in halacha like a positive commandment. So there would be a loisase and nase. Now, v'loishna, it also sounds like it wouldn't make a difference if this amana is falling in front of the Kohen Gadol, mina erisin, if she was just only engaged, and therefore she's still a virgin, she's still a basula, but there would still be the negative prohibition of amana likach, because she's still considered a widow. She was betrothed already, and therefore she would be considered a widow, but wouldn't have the positive commandment of Bibsula Yikach. Now, it sounds like either way that's going to be a problem to the Kohen Gadol. And that the Gemara asks, Bishlam and Nasuin, we could understand the case of when she had consummated the relationship, she got married to his brother, because there's an assay, well, I said, as we just explained, there's a positive commandment violation of Bibsula Yikach has to take a Bsula, and there's a negative prohibition of Aman Yikach. The positive commandment of Yibum cannot override a negative prohibition and a positive commandment. But the Gemara's question is, Elamina Erisin, but if she was only engaged, who there was just a negative prohibition of not marrying a widow, Yave Asay, the positive commandment of Yavama Yave Yaleha should be Vayitra Laisase, should override the negative prohibition of Avon Laikach. That's classical halacha of Asay de Chalaisase. And therefore, why do we say that the Amana would be forbidden to the Kohen Gadol in all cases? So I'm Rav Gidl Amar Rav. Rav's interpretation is as follows. He says, Amakra, there's a pasuk in Devarim, in the parasha of Yibum, which says, in Devarim Chafhei, pasuk Zayin, it says, Ve'im lo yachbet se'ish, if the man will not desire, l'kaches as yevimte, to take his yevama. So then the pasuk continues and says, Ve'olsi yevimte hashara, then his yevama will go up to the gate, meaning to Bezin. Now, Rav points out she'in tama lemi yevimte. Really, the word yevimte seems superfluous. It doesn't seem to be adding anything. It could have just said va'olsa hashara, that she will go up to the gate, because the pasuk already said that who we're talking about is the yevama, because it says if he doesn't want to take lekacha says yevimte. So we know who we're talking about. So ma tama lemi yevimte. So what does the word yevimte come to add? So that Rav says as follows. It says rather it's yesh lecha yevama achas, must be that there is one yevama. She'ila l'chalitza, that she comes up to the parasha of having chalitza dan tahar, va'olsa, she goes up to the gate, but ve'ena oyle yibum, but she doesn't come to yibum, ve'ezei, which woman is this? Zuchi v'lavin. That's a reference to a woman that just has a negative prohibition. That is because, had the Torah written that if this man doesn't want to take his yibama, and then va'olsa hashara, she goes up to the gate, we would have understood the pasuk to mean to say that woman, that yibama, that if he was supposed to go ahead and do Yibam, and if he doesn't want to, then she goes up to have Chalitza. But Chiv Alav, and those that is a negative prohibition, like Amon L'Kohen Gadol, or Grushal of Chalitza Kohen Hedit, where there you cannot have Likuchin, you cannot do Yibam, because there's a prohibition in the Torah of consummating that relation. There we would not say V'olsa Yivimte Hashara. That's why Rav says the Torah wrote again the word Yivimte to make the following drasha, that there are actually certain women that are Yivamis that only come in, so to speak, in the parasha of by chalitza. And that is, even though we don't apply lekacha says yevim toitahar, she's not oily yibam, like a chiv alavin cannot have yibam, still, also yevim toy, there is a different yevama that comes just fahashara to the gate for chalitza. That's chiv alavin, which doesn't have yibam, but can have chalitza. And that's why we don't say asay dechaloisei. Although there's a positive commandment and should override the negative prohibition, but the Torah is specifically telling you that she will have chalitza and not yibam. And that the Gemara asks, Ve'ema Chayva Krisis, why don't you learn from here also that even for Chayva Krisis you should have to have Chalitza? And it shouldn't be like the Mishnah in the beginning of the Masechta that says, oh, Chayva Krisis, she's an Erva, she's totally removed from Yibam Chalitza. Why? You should say over here that even though she's an Erva and she's a forbidden union to the Yavam, so you can't do Yibam, but Valsi Yavim Tashar, there are Yavamis that come up just for Chalitza, and therefore she should require Chalitza. So that the Gemara answers no, because Amakra the Pasuk says, Im lo yach betzayish lekachas, if the man doesn't want to take her, then he does chalitza, which sounds like hachafitz meyabim. But if he wants to, he could do yibim. And then we say that kala oyle yibim oyle chalitza, anyone that comes into the parasha of Yibam, so then you could do chalitza. But if you don't come to the parasha of Yibam because there's an erva of karas over here, then no, you can't do chalitza, and she's totally exempt from Yibam. But then the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Then why didn't you say this in the Bechiv Alavin? Where they're not oyle Yibam, you can't go ahead and have a relationship, the Kohen Gadol cannot marry that widow, because it says in the Torah not. So you're saying that, oh, okay, so she can't do Yibam, but the chalitza is being included, and that's why you don't say Aseid Chalitza, because the Torah is telling you do only Chalitza, because she's only going to come in by also Yivim Tashar. But why is it any different than by Chiva Krisis? You say because she's not Oyle Yibim, and that's how you dash the first of the Pasuk, and Chiva Lavan is also not Oyle Yibim, shouldn't be Oyle Chalitza. And that the Gemara says, no, Harab Rechman Yivim Tay. But we said that Chiva Lavan is already included in Yivim Tay. Even though she's not Oyle Yibim, you're right, that's why we add another word of Yivim Tay. So the Gemara says, Marisa. Okay, so how do you differentiate? I understand there's one drasha of that's saying that im loyach b'tzish l'kachas, if he doesn't want to, it sounds like that then he does chalitza, but if he wanted to, he could do yibum. So you have to be able to do yibum to do chalitza, which would exclude everybody. That's a problem. Even chiva lavin and chiva krisis. But then on the other hand, you tell me, oh, but it says, yeah, extra word yivim toy by chalitza, which means say that even if there's no yibum, so then why are you including just chiva lavin, including chiva krisis there? So I think Gemara says as follows, we continue on Tamid Bey, is that mistaba. It's logical to say, as we said in the beginning of the daf, Chiva Lavin Tavsibu Kedushin. Now, regarding negative prohibitions, as we had mentioned before, Kedushin is Taifis by Chiva Lavin. And that is mean to say, although you're not allowed to marry, let's say the Kohen Head, you cannot marry Grusha, but if he does, he violates Adissa, that will be considered a halachic marriage, which is not the case by Ervis of, let's say, Chiva Mises Bezdin, where you get married, it's not considered a halachic marriage. Now, therefore, B'di'evid, after the fact, it is considered v'im loyach b'tzish l'kachas, meaning, but if he wanted, he could, because if you violated the Ister, it would be considered a union. Now, however, chiva krisis leitavis b'kedushin, whereas in contrast to chiva krisis, where kedushin is not taifis, and that is, even if he violates the yavam, this Ister, and he marries her, it's not considered l'kicha, there is where we're going to say, oh, then you're not oyle yivim at all, and therefore you're not going to be oyle chalitza. But yivimta is coming to include chiva lavin, because that is still, you could fit it in somehow with the other drasha of kol she'oyle yibam, oyle chalitza, because it is oyle yibam after the fact if you violate the iser, and that's why, since kedushin is taifis, that's why we'll say that the drasha of yivimta is including just chiva lavin and not chiva krisis. Now, however, Masav Rava, Rava asks on Rav's interpretation, that is, we had a question. The Mishnah makes it sound like a Amalek and Gadol is always going to be that you do chalitza and you don't do yibam. The Gemara had a question. What do you mean? You should say Aseid Dechaloise. So Rav said, no, there's a pasuk that tells us clearly, which we finessed it, and we said that it's Tumat Chiva Lavin, that says, look, you're not really Oyle Yibam, so therefore, yes, maybe you shouldn't be Oyle Chalitza, but the extra word Yevimte says that you come in just for Chalitza. That's where we know the halacha of, let's say, Amon L'Kohen Gadol, that you're going to do Chalitza, not Yib. So Rav asks, we learned the Brayis as follows. Says Issa Mitzvah, again, those are the women that are rabbinically prohibited. The Issa Kedusha, and those that are biblically prohibited, but only with a negative prohibition, no Karis, which again, the Mishnah put them together, that you do Chalitza and not Yibam. So that the Braisa says, Ba'ala, Echolatzla, if he has relations with her, does Yibam with her, or he does Chalitza with her, then Nifter Terasa, that will exempt the co-wife. And that is of, let's say, there was Reuben and Shimon, and Reuben died without any children, and one of them was a divorcee. Now, his brother can go ahead and the one is permitted and one is forbidden because she's Issa Kedusha. And that the Braisa seems to be saying that if you go ahead and do Yibum to the Issa Kedusha, to the Grusha, so although you're not supposed to, but if you did it, or you did Chalitza, that will exempt the co-wife. Now, that the Gemara's question is to Rav, and if you're going to entertain like Rav interpreted the Halacha of HaMishnah, that Chiva Lavin, those that are negative prohibitions, let's say a Grusha, like the case we just said, to a Kohen Hedyid, with Midaraisa L'Chalitza Ramya, that biblically, the only thing, as we learned from the word Yevimta, according to Rav, comes to include you that, yes, you could do Chalitza to the Grusha, but Le'ibim Lo'i Ramya, biblically, you're never in the parasha with the Grusha for the Kohen Hedyid, for the Halach of Yibim, so if so, Kibal Leha, obviously we're talking about that you're violating an Isser when you're doing Yibim to the Grusha. But even after the fact, when you do Yibim to her, Amai Nifter Tzarasa, why does that exempt the co-wife? You didn't do anything. You didn't do Yibim. If you would say that it was only a rabbinic problem, so they said you're not allowed to, fine. But if Rav's interpreting this halacha of Isser Kedusha, of Amalekah and Gadah, and Grusha B'chalutz L'Kayin Hedit, that biblically, this is the halacha. you really should say Aser Dechalitza, but the Pasuk is telling you there she's not in Yibim, she is in Chalitza, because Valsa Yibim Tashar comes to include just for Chalitza. So that means you're not in the parish of Yibim. That's not going to exempt a co-wife. So how does the Braisa make sense, according to Rav, that Chalitza makes sense, because the Torah says you do Chalitza, but it says also in Baal, how's that going to exempt the Tzara? So that the Gemara says, who Moisav love whom a Farakla? Rav asked the question, and he gave the answer. Let's start in Ketani. You have to read the Mishnah, that they're going on different cases. I mean, although it puts it together, it says Issa Mitzvah, Issa Kedusha, which are two different types of women, one rabbinically prohibited, and one biblically, but only Issa of a lav. And then if you did either Biya Tahar, who's Har, or Chalitza Tahar, who's Har, then the halacha is it will exempt the Tzara. Rava answered, actually, each one is a different case. And that is Baal Laha, when it said, if you do Yibim Tahar, that will exempt the Tzara. That was only going on the case of a Isra Mitzvah, on the woman that's a Shnias, a secondary rabbinically prohibited Erva, where there biblically she is fit for him and falls even for Yibim. And it's just the rabbis say that you can't go ahead and have a relation with her. That's why if you violate the rabbinic prohibition, of course that's going to exempt her Tzara in the halacha of Yibim, because biblically what you did was a biblical Yibim by having relations with her. Chalatzla. However, the case of when it said, but if you do Chalitza Tahar, that was going on Issa Kedusha, that was going on, let's say, the Grusha to the Kohen Hedyot, we there, like Rav said, you only fall for Chalitza, and therefore the Chalitza will exempt the Tzara, and that's why it's not a question of Rav, because you're right, Issa Kedusha, according to Rav, which he would interpret the Braisa, would actually, if you, one has B with her, would not exempt the Tzara, because biblically that's not considered Yim at all. But that case of Yabohala was going on the Issa Mitzvah, and the case of Chalitza was going to Issa Kedusha. The Gemara continues asking, Masav Rav, Rav asked from the following Braisa. It says that Pitsua Daka, a man that has a crushed testicles, or a chrus shafcha, or an organ that's severed. Now, these are halachas that are taught later on in Perek Oral Naf Einemet Aleph, which makes the man prohibited to come into the Kaal to marry into a regular Jewish woman. Or Sris Adam, or if let's say he was castrated by a human, and not by an illness that made him castrated by default. Now, these type of people have, again, like we said, a negative prohibition, which included, the Torah says that regarding a Pitzua Daka and a Kroy Shafcha, the Torah says, it's forbidden to marry Yisraelis, a Jewish woman, like it says, Leyova Pitzua Daka, it says they can't come Mikal Yisrael. Now, moreover, the Brisa says, V'hazakan, an elderly man, where he stopped having the ability to have children, now as Rashi explains, he's not the same as these other cases that there's a negative prohibition for him to marry a Jewish woman. The chiddush of why it's being included in that price is that although he stopped having the capacity of having children, his relation is considered a bia to acquire the yavama, and then once he wants to divorce her, he doesn't have to do chalitza, she could just be divorced with a regular get. Now either way, regarding these men, halach is oy chaltzen, oy miyamen. If these men want to, they could either do chalitza or yibim. Obviously, Rashi says we're not talking about lekatchila, because obviously these men are not allowed to. There's a negative prohibition for them to have relations with the yavama because they're petzua daka. Either the organ was severed, they were castrated, and such a man is not allowed to marry a Jewish woman, which what this yavama is. But it's just saying that the yibim is a yibim. If they went ahead and they violated this iser and they had bia with the yavama, that she was acquired and the mitzvah of yibim was fulfilled. Now the Bryce says ketzad. What is the halacha regarding these individuals? So, Mesu, if these individuals were the ones that were married and they died without any children, v'lehem achim, they had brothers, and v'lehem nashim, they had wives, v'amdu achim, v'asu maybe ben shasein, and if their brothers, who are the yavamis, if they go ahead and they give a maimer to this petzua daka or this kuroshavcha's wives, or v'nasnu get, or if these brothers go ahead and give a divorce document, or v'chaltzu, or if they do chalitza. Now Rashi explains that where does a get from a yavam come into yavama? Says actually a get does have a halachic relevance because a get would make the yavama possible to him and to all his brothers. And that is if after one of the brothers gives a get, if would one of the brothers want to yibim, they wouldn't be able to anymore because that would be the violation of shuv lo yivne, which is that if you don't build it because a get is divorcing that building, then you can never do it anymore again. So that's the relevance of a get. So either way, the Braisa says, Masha asu, what they did was done. And Vibolakana, if they have Bia, they have acquired the Yavama, meaning to say they could do whatever they want. She's like a regular Yavama, even though she was married to a man that couldn't have children in that sense of Petsuadaka and Kurishav. Now, if it's the other way around, if Mesu Achim, if this Kurishavcha is the Yavam, and his brothers died, Va'amdu Haim, now these men that can't have children, if they get up, Va'asu Maimer ben Shaseyan, and they do Maimer in the Yavamas, or Vinasnu get, or they give a get, or Ishachaltsu, or they do Chalitza, then Masha Asu, it's also what they have done is done. However, Vimbalu Kanu, if they have Bia with the Yavama, it will acquire the Yavama, and therefore if he wants to remove her, doesn't want to stay married to her anymore, all he needs is a get and not Chalitza, but Va'asu Lakayman. However, it's forbidden to maintain that relationship of what the Yibim started. Now Rashi explains that's going on the case of the Seifa, meaning when the brothers die and they did Bia with the Yavama. Now, and specifically, Rashi says, it's talking about the Petsua Daka and those similar type of cases, not the elderly person, because as the Brisa says, Meshub Shinem, like it says the Pasuk in the Varm, it says, La Yavah, Petsua Daka. A Petsua Daka is not allowed to marry a Jewish woman. Now, he's a brother with a bunch of brothers, and one of his brothers dies without any children. He goes ahead and he does Yibum. Now, that's going to fulfill the mitzvah, as Rav is going to ask right now on Rav from there. But however, although you fulfill the mitzvah, you cannot maintain that relationship because you're a Petsua Daka and you can't be married to a Jewish woman, so you would have to go ahead and divorce and give her a get. Now this is where Rabbah concludes the question. And if you would assume like Rav, that Chiv Alavin regarding these negative prohibitions of which includes these cases of Petsua Daka or Krishavcho or Amal Kain Gadol or Mamzeres or Nasan, where Rav's interpretation, based on the pasuk as we said from Yevimtu, says that biblically they're only included in chalitza, a new patent where they only come in for chalitza, but they're not included in the biblical halacha of yibum of doing bia. So then, in Balu Amaykanu, why does the Brisa say that if this Kori Shavcha, he's an Isra Kedusha, it's an Isra Lav over here, not Karis, but Isra Lav, why say that if he does B, it's going to be Kaina? Why? His Yibim is not a Yibim. They're only included in the Parashah of Chalitza, according to Rav's interpretation. So therefore the Gemara says, the Lama Rav, rather Rav says, he argues in Rav, as is he proved from this Brisa. Chiv Lav and Oso actually do fall for Yibim. Not like Rav said that they're not included in Yibim, they only start with Chalitza. No, they're not like Chiva Krisis. They don't learn off of Machais Isha. They're not totally removed from the Parasha of Yibim. And therefore, they're in the Parasha of Yibim. Now, therefore, that's what the Brisa says. If you violate that Isra of Lav, so then it will acquire the woman like a regular Yibim. Now, but the question that started this whole discussion, which Rav gave his answer to, was then why by Amana, that was only engaged to the brother that now died without any children. It sounds like from the Stimas HaMishnah that she's still going to be forbidden to the Kohen Gadol, which the question was, why? Why don't we say that he could do Yibum because the Asay of Yibum should be Deuchah, the Lois Asay of Almanu LeYikach, because there's no also Asay of, like we said, Bibsula Yikach. So Rebbe says, no, that question is not a question. Because Amana, a widow to a Kohen Gadol, min ha'erisin nami, to erisin also, asev loisazu, actually that case also has a positive commandment, and that's why it's forbidden to do Yibim. Now what's that asay? Like it says the pasuk in Be'ikra, it says, kedoshim yu leleheyem, they should be holy to their God, which is the halachas by the Kahanim, which you see that's a positive commandment, to be Kaddish. So therefore, there's a loisazay of Amana, and there's a asay of being kedoshim. And that's why we won't be able to say asay dechaleisay, and that's why you can't go ahead and do yibum. But chalitza, of course, you could do because you're not violating anything by doing chalitza, and you're included in the parish of yibum. But the Gemara asks, and then mamzeres in the sina ma'ikla members. Then what are you going to say by mamzeres, a legitimate a woman or a nasina, where there the pasuk of kedeshim yu is not going on them; that's only going on the kahanim. So that's one category of these Isra kedusha of chiv alavim. But there's many others. There's only going to be a negative prohibition. You should still say asidu chalaisay. So the Gemara answers, k'siv, no, it says a different pasuk, v'skadishtim, that they should be holy, which is going on all these Isuri kedusha, which would include even the mamzeres and the nasina. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Then the whole entire Torah should be a positive and a negative prohibition. It says that you should be holy. That's going on all arayas. So you should never say for this category, because every mitzvah has a negative prohibition and a positive commandment of this viskadishtim. So Elam, however, rather Rava gives a different answer. He says the reason why the Amalek and Golda, you don't say Aseh Dechalese, it's a Gezerah, it's a rabbinic concern of Amonim and the Erison. You're right. By a widow just from being engaged, you should be able to say Aseid Dechaleisa say, and the Kohen Gadol should be able to do Yibam. However, we're concerned Otamanim and Menan Nesuin. It's very common that the widow is usually coming from a marriage. It doesn't happen that often that this case of Yibam even happens, and most definitely when you're engaged. So therefore, if we allowed the widow from when she was engaged, we might say, wait a second, Kohen Gadol can do Yibam. I remember one time that Kohen Gadol went and his brother's widow he went and did Yibam with. Now, we're concerned that then people might allow it from marriage too, and that's why we don't allow it even minha erisim. But the Gemara continues the questioning, then Mamzeres and Nesina, my claim. What are you going to say by Mamzeres and Nesina? What would be the problem, the concern over there? Why don't you say, I say, Dechalei, say over there? So the Gemara says, no, because Gezer b'makom mitzvah, the concern would be that if we allow you, a regular Jewish man, to marry a Mamzeres, even though that it's permitted in this case because of Yibum, but Atar Shalai b'makom mitzvah, we're going to say, wait a second, Mamzeres? A Jewish man's allowed to marry Mamzeres or Nesina. I remember that person married that woman. Now, people are not going to recall that was only because the mitzvah sase of Yibum was doicha d'loisei Mamzeres and Nesina, and because of that concern, we don't allow it at all because of Shalai b'makom mitzvah. But then the Gemara asks, Elamahat, if that's the case, Eishas achiv me'av leitis yabim, you shouldn't be able to do Yibum to your paternal brother's wife, which that is the mitzvah of Yibum when he dies without children, gizei mishum eishas achiv me'imai, because of one's maternal brother's wife. We might say, wait a second, you could do Yibam. I know that you could marry your brother's wife when he dies without any children. I remember he did that. So people are going to think the same thing applies to maternal brother's wife too. It's your brother's wife. Yeah, without any children, you can go ahead and marry her, which is not the case. And that would be a violation of Issacharis. So you should never be able to do Yibam. I think Mara says, no, that can't be a good gezer. Because Yibam banach l'tal rachman, the Torah defines the mitzvah of Yibam in Yerusha, in inheritance. And therefore, made the Yadai, everyone knows that that goes paternal regarding inheritance. And everyone knows it's only a paternal brother, and they're not going to confuse it with a maternal brother. But the Gemara still asks, Isha she'en la banim leitzayam. We should not allow Yibam for a woman that doesn't have children, because gzeir mishum isha she'esh la banim, because of the decree that we might allow it in a case where a woman has children. They're going to say, wait a second, a brother that dies, of course you can marry her wife, his wife. I remember that happened. And but that's only when there's no children. People are going to come to confuse even when there is children. Nothing more says no. B'banim tal rachmana, the whole point of the Torah when it says the mitzvah of Yibam is he dies around the children, and Yaakov Mashem Achim, he'll then have children and it'll be named after him. So maybe the people know Yibam only applies when there's no children. They won't come to confuse it even when there's children. But the Gemara still asks, the wife of one's brother, who he was alive the same time as his brother, you shouldn't allow Yibam. Because Gezer, you should make a decree that you might come to allow it even when the brothers are not alive at the same time. And that we know that's an erva. I think Mar says, no, there also be yeshiva talachman. The Torah says specifically, when the brothers are dwelling together, people know the mitzvah Yibam only applies when the brothers were alive at the same time and not when they weren't, and therefore they're not going to come to confuse it. But the Gemara still asks, they say, no woman should allow to have Yibam Gezer Mishum Ailness. Because the decree that you might allow it, even when the wife is an ailness, a woman that cannot have children. And that, we said, it says in Tarash HaTeilet, which excludes the ailness, and you can't do Yibam Tar. And that would be a violation of Issa Ishis Achta Has Karas. So you should say that no woman should be allowed because of that type of a case. I think Gemara says, Lo Yishchicha. We only make Gezeris in places where it's common. It's not so common for a woman to be an ailness, and therefore we're not concerned for that type of a case. But the Gemara still asks, Mamzeres Nesina Namar Lo Yishchicha. What do you mean? The whole point you're saying is that it's a gezer. We're concerned. You're right, you should say aseid dechaleisa in these type of cases. But there's gezeris for them, that because then you might allow other cases which are not permitted. Which is, let's say, when the amon is from nisuin, or mamzeres nesina, when it's not b'makom mitzvah of yibam. But then we had different questions that we asked, wait a second, what about this, what about that? And then we ended with the case of alness. So he said, no, alness is not shchiach, not so common, and therefore we're not going to make a gzeira for that. So the Gemara asks, mamzeres nesina is also not common, and yet still we make a gzeira. I mean, it's not so common for a Jewish man to be marrying a mamzeres nesina that they're even around, they're not so common, and yet still we say that we don't allow the yibim to them because we're concerned of marrying them shalei b'makom yibim. Now, so then, but then why don't you say this to me by alness? Alness is not common, you say, therefore we're not geizer. Yet there, you're saying, obviously, we are geizer, because if we weren't geizer for something that's not shchiach, then you should be able to do yibim to the mamzeres and the sinah. So that refutes that interpretation of Rabba. Rabba says a different shot. He says, you know what's the problem with all these women, all these issakadushas? You're right. You should say, aseid dechaleisei, it's a positive commandment of yibim. It should be decha. They're negative prohibitions, whatever they are. Mamzeres, nesina, amon, lekohen gadol, grusha, whatever it is. But there's a problem. there's a different gezerah that takes that tells why all of them we don't allow you, because it's a gezerah bi rishayin. There's a decree of the first intimacy that they're having, where yes, you fulfill a positive commandment in that moment, and that could override the negative prohibition, but atu bi shniyah, because that would be a problem, because you could only have relations one time, but the second time you have relations, there's no positive commandment that you're fulfilling over there, because you already fulfilled the mitzvah of Yibam the first time that there was relations. Now, if we allow you to do Yibam, you might do it a second time. And that's a problem, because then you're not fulfilling a mitzvah anymore, and you're still having relations with a negative prohibition, which is not being overridden with a mitzvah to say of Yibam. And that's why we do not allow Yibam, although Aseh D'Chleiseh should allow it the first time, but then you might have it a second time, and that's why we don't allow it at all. So as the Gemara says, Tanya Rahach is similar in the Braisa, that we said these words in Ba'alu Kan. We said that, look, if they did be it, these that are Issa Kedusha, which are forbidden, if they did be it, is going to acquire them, that the Braisa says, that's Babi Rishayna. That, we're explaining, that means to say, what does that mean? That's the first time to be it. But V'as L'Kam, when the Braisa that we quoted before says, however, that it's forbidden to hold on to them, that must be, as we're interpreting, is Babi Ashniyah, is the second time be it. And therefore, that's Rava's interpretation of why all these women are forbidden to have Yibum, because although the Bia will acquire them, and how so? Because the Aseh will be Deicha Deleisei, but however, Asla Kaiman tells us, obviously, you cannot hold on to them because the second time, and therefore the Chacham say, okay, you never could do Bia, you can't acquire the Yavim that way, you have to do Chalitz. However, the Gemara says, Hadam Rava ended up saying, Vitam, and sometimes it was Ravashi, that Lav Milsa Hidarmi. No, it's not true, this that we said, that the first Bia would be permitted likatchila initially, if not for this gezerah that the Chacham said because of the second bia. Because actually not. Even the first bia actually is forbidden. Now, although the Braisa says in Balu Kanu, that's only if after the fact you violated a prohibition, it was not permitted, but still, it's still going to be considered Kedushin Taifsin, so that would be considered that you were kainah. Now, why don't you say Aseh Dechalaiseh, which would then say, why shouldn't the bia Rishayna be permitted? Because, as Rav explains, you could fulfill the mitzvah of Yibam with Chalitza without violating the loisasei of this negative prohibition of Mamzeres, or Nesino, or Chalutza, or Amana. Because Damar Shlokesh, like Rav Shlokesh says, come welcome Shatam Maitza Seba Loisasei, anytime that you find that you have a positive commandment and a negative prohibition that come head to head. Meaning, you either got to do, if you're going to do the positive commandment, you're going to be violating the negative prohibition. And if you want to fulfill the negative prohibition, you're not going to fulfill the positive commandment. So Rish Lakish says, if you could somehow find a way to do the positive commandment and not violate the negative prohibition, that's the best. And if not, then if you can't find a way out of that, then the positive commandment overrides the negative prohibition. So that Rabbi says, what do you mean? You can do chalitza. You'll be fulfilling the positive commandment of Yibum, because chalitza is an option. You don't have to consummate the relationship, and you'll also still be fulfilling the loisei, because you will not be violating the prohibition of having relations with someone that's a negative prohibition. And that answers why we don't say aseh d'chaleisei, because aseh d'chaleisei only works if there's no other option. If there's an option to fulfill the aseh and the loisei without violating either one of them, then you do that, and that's why we don't say that, and that's why even the first bia would be forbidden, not just because it's a gezeira for bia shniyah. However, the Gemara says, Meisvei, the Braisa that we just quoted says, Vimbalu kanu, if these people that are forbidden to that woman, based on the negative prohibition, if they anyway do bia, they'll acquire her and fulfill the mitzvah of Yibam that way. So obviously, biblically, that she falls in front of him for the mitzvah of Yibam. Now, how would that be? Because although there's a negative prohibition, must be the positive commandment is overriding the negative prohibition, at least for the moment, of the first bia when you're fulfilling the mitzvah aseh. So the Gemara concludes, Tiyufta, this refutes Rava that said that based on Rish Lakish, that if you can fulfill both of them, that will not be Iker, will not uproot the Lav. Obviously, from that price, you see not like that. You obviously see that biblically, that the first Bia is allowed, and that that mitzvah of Yibam does override the negative prohibition, because if it didn't, then it wouldn't be acquiring her in the mitzvah of Yibam. Must be that Aseh is Dechalois Aseh, not like the way Rava wanted to extrapolate from Rish Lakish's halacha, and that the first bia would be likatchila a halacha. It's just that we made a gzera, atu bia shnia, that if we allow you to go ahead and bia one time with her, you might have a second time where then you're still going to, you always have that leisa say of a mamzeres and the sin of Li Yisrael, or grusha chlisa kain hedged, or amalaka and gadol, which is always going to be there, and then you don't have a say deich leisa overriding it in that moment, And that's why we say that you don't say Aseh Dechaleiseh. Now Mishnah says Amonah is forbidden to Kohen Gadol in all cases, even by Mina Erisin, which again you should have Aseh Dechaleiseh, but it's Exera of Birishayin Akubi Yishniyah.